The following podcast is proudly sponsored by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Despite all the rain we've had recently, and they had a lot more than I did in downtown Toronto, I just found out, Crosswinds has held up quite nicely. We found out yesterday that fall golf really is the most glorious golf of all. I'll talk about that later. But right now, let me tell you that if you haven't been out, the leaves are changing color. The views are magnificent right now. It's a perfect time to get out and enjoy a great round of golf with good friends or even perfect strangers who will become friends. Because when you play golf together, it's like it's a bonding thing. You could meet someone in a bar or at a party and talk with them for a while. It's not like being out for 4 hours on the golf course. It was beautiful. And Crosswinds bases its reputation on customer service. And it's easy to see why. It's been voted Burlington's best golf facility for the past 12 years in a row. The people are what make Crosswinds special. They really do care about your golfing experience, so take my word for it and go to crosswindsgolf.com, book your tee time online. You will love it, the way Mike loves T.O. That's what it says in his t-shirt. That's right. Don't forget to tell him Hebsy sent you. All right, Mike, let's start the podcast. Live from Toronto, it's Hebsy on Sports. Hi there, sports fans. Mark Hebsher here. Welcome to episode 253 of the show. Toronto Mike is my co-host, and we'll hear his thoughts in just a sec. But first, I'd like to point out that even though baseball's postseason has arrived, I still have a few things to get off my chest regarding the disappointing end to the Blue Jays season. Can I say bitter? The bitter end? Do those words work together for you? Well, they do for me. And what are the Jays planning to do to chase down Tampa next year and win that division? Because that's the only way it's going to work. You got to win that division, that freaking division. And they have the horses to do it, right? Am I right? But do they have the right man or right men or right people?
Right.
Let's be politically correct here, to lead them to a championship. And I'm talking everybody, training staff, front office, manager, director of public relations, everybody. Well, maybe not so much the director of public relations. By the way, are Toronto sports fans wimpy? Are they happy even if their teams don't make the playoffs? Great teams that don't make the playoffs and they're still happy, satisfied, fulfilled? I think they are, and I'm sick about it. They're satisfied with mediocrity. So we'll get into that. We'll also get into the postseason matchups after the Rays and Astros pulled off Game 1 victories yesterday. Big news out of Montreal. Carey Price enters the NHL's player assistance program for unspecified reasons. I'm keeping my voice low because it's a very serious topic. We'll discuss that as well. We'll get ready for the grind of an 82-game regular season. Pick your sport, hockey, basketball. It's starting. Can you get into it this early when there's other stuff going on? Tell me about that. Hey, by the way, who are the goalies going to be for Canada at the upcoming Olympic Games now that Carey Price may not be in the mix? You can discuss that amongst yourselves or with us. We'll talk about the changes at The Fan and some other sports media stuff, including how Leo Routens found out. How did he find out that he was no longer with Sportsnet? Want to take a guess? Go ahead. Canada gets a huge point in their quest for a spot in the World Cup. The Raptors take on Philly, the NFL, and plenty more. And now Toronto Mike. From the Toronto Mike Studios in New Toronto.
Hebsy, man, I saw you were on Joe Tilley's show this past week.
I was. Joe and I go back a long way. So we told some good stories, and it was interesting. It was a good chat.
Rick Ratu is on your YouTube channel, and he tuned in to check it out, and he felt that Joe was intimidated by you. Did you get that sense at all?
Not at all.
That's Rick's opinion. I'd be surprised by that. I have to finish the whole thing there. I've had so many deep dives with Hebsy. Sometimes it's...
I know. It's the same as me.
It's like you're sick of talking about yourself.
When I'm listening to your podcast, as I was with the Greg Brady one that you did
last week
or 2 weeks ago or whatever. Right. See, that's the other thing.
I'm glad you listened to that
one. They're timeless. I don't generally listen to them right after you've done them. Mm-hmm. And the reason I don't is because you and I will have spoken likely within a few days of that. And our conversations are still kind of fresh in my mind. And if I listen to an interview that you record three days later,
right,
it's almost like, ah, oh, man, I spoke to Mike already.
Right,
like a couple of days ago, I listened. Huh. So I'll wait on those. I'll let them percolate for a while.
Sure.
And then I'll listen, whatever, a month or 2 months later. But they're timeless. It doesn't matter when you listen to the interviews that you're doing.
Well, what's fascinating, but I'm glad you listened to Greg Brady because there was some Hebsy talk in that one. And we're going to get back to the Joe.
That's why I listen, I got rabbit ears.
But that was recorded as the Fan 590 lineup changes were being announced. We were literally recording that episode. So we talked a lot about the Fan 590 lineup, and it was all kind of like obsolete. Like when we stopped recording, like Scott MacArthur was gone already. But the Joe Tilley was the show, because you teased it on Hebsy on Sports. You said that there was another podcaster working on a Jim Taddy Mark Hebscher reunion. That was Joe Tilley, right?
Guess what? It was the Mark Hebscher reunion. It was the Mark Hebscher Joe Tilley reunion, is what it was, because what's his name had. Wasn't interested.
Yes, guy.
It's too bad. I think you will eventually come around, Jim.
But I will say that it felt good to me. Let's hear it from you. I was going to say that because I had the experience of trying to reunite you guys and Jim Taddy taking a pass, I was like a tiny bit like jealous of Joe that Joe was able to make it happen. Even though I said, well, Mike, he's Joe Tilley. He was a colleague for years. You're not in the same playing field. But
he didn't make it happen.
He didn't make it happen. Please tell us what you were going to say there.
No, I'm just, like I said, I can't speak for Jim. I don't know. Jim and I played golf a couple years ago. We're fine and all that. But I think he still needs time before he's going to sit down and discuss anything to do with what went on at Global.
Wow. Wow.
The Global, look, he was there for a long time. They treated him very poorly, very poorly. And he's not the only one, but there are certain things that you have expectations of. You're told certain things.
Right.
And when it all comes down to the end, and I hate saying this, it never ends well. And in that case, it was really embarrassing. I think I would have been embarrassed, humiliated that, they walk you out of the building after 20 years with a box in your hand. So anyway.
That makes sense.
Anyway, but I think the time will come. I think it's good. It's therapeutic. It's, Tony Soprano eventually had to speak to a psychiatrist. I was like, well, I don't know.
Panic.
You got to get some stuff out sometimes. And then, all right, it's good.
Speaking of getting stuff out, I don't know if you've heard this one yet, but I put together a 1050 The Team Toronto retrospective, which actually features Gene Valaitis. I want to say hi to Gene because he's on the line.
I'm disappointed that you didn't contact me before you put that show together and didn't ask me if I knew about it. Had I been offered a position, what that position was, what the salary was, who I was going to be working with and all that. But you never contacted me for that. But it would have been really added to that particular podcast.
But you know why? I didn't think of you because you weren't there.
Been involved. Like, why would Hebsy have been involved in an all sports station at that time? Like, what the fuck did he know about sports?
Can you give me
So I'm disappointed in that. So anyway, but let's do my show.
Okay, sure.
Enough about your podcast, the Toronto Mike podcast. Let's talk about this podcast. I think people are interested in hearing what I have to say.
I think these are your people.
I think since I ran a thing called Toronto's Greatest Sports Fans back in 1982, when I was working in a medium called Radio on the 590 CKEY, and I took 1,000 people to a Blue Jays game to say, let's make some fucking noise because we sit on our freaking hands, that I'm pretty much qualified to say this. Toronto sports fans will settle for fucking anything these days, and I'm getting sick of it. This glad-handing and patting on the back, oh, we did such a good job this year, is nauseating. Let's go back a little bit of revisionist history. Maple Leaf fans, put up your hands. If the Leafs get out of the first round, how will you feel? Elated? You will. We will. Not good enough. Stanley Cup? Oh, no, we're not going to make the Stanley Cup. We just want to get out of the first round. Fuck right off with that, okay? Get that out of your head or you're not a Leafs fan. You're not a real fan. You're not a real Toronto sports fan, all right? We'll do anything to get into the first round. How about the Raptors? Oh, we won that championship. That was good. We feel good about that, but we're not going to win another one. It's going to take years now. Boy, if we finish the top four in the East, we'll be thrilled. If we win a playoff round, no, if we win two playoff rounds, we'll be over the moon. No championship aspirations there. Okay. TFC. Hey, let's not finish last. You know what I'm saying? Canada. Ooh, can we finish in the top two or three in CONCACAF? Maybe tie Mexico? Ooh, the Blue Jays are the worst. Oh, we're thrilled by finishing out of the playoffs. All that talent we had, and we almost made game 163. With all that talent, we're so happy. We won 91 games, and we had three different home fields. Good for us. We should get participation medals. Look, if you want to love a team that didn't even give you a sniff of a playoff game, not even a sniff of 163, and you had to sit there and let fucking Rafael Devers hammer the nail into your coffin, all right? Oh, we won three in a row against Baltimore. We did our job. No, you didn't. You didn't. Me and Mike and seven fucking strangers could have given Baltimore Orioles a run. Oh, the Orioles want to play spoilers. Come on, man. Okay, they won the three games they had to, but they didn't win in the series against the Yankees. Okay? And so they get a participation medal, and they get a pass because they had three different homes. So say goodbye to Robbie Ray. He's not coming back. And perhaps say goodbye to Marcus Semien, the shortstop masquerading as a second baseman in a land far, far away. Oh, yeah, he loved it here. Sure he did. Set a record. It's going to be tough to keep him, folks. So are the Jays really going to be a better team next year? Are they? Huh? Can they win 95 games next year in that division? 97? 100 games? Maybe they should lobby to go in another division because it's too tough. Okay? It's hard in that division. We're not good enough. We're fourth best in the division. Wow. Try being the Dodgers, win 106 games, and you have to play a fucking wild card. Stop complaining. Honest to God. But good on Charlie Montoyo. Did a great job. He should be the manager of the year. Should get big hugs from everybody for making it through the pandemic and winning 91 games. Because everybody is thrilled at the season and can hardly wait for next year. Oh, I agree. I can hardly wait for next year. But I need to see something more. Okay? To me, it was a step back. They made the playoffs last year. They had a way better team this year. So I'm disappointed, and I'm angry, and I can't believe the 2021 Blue Jays might be the best team I ever saw play. Of all the teams, the championship teams, this might have been the most talented team. But they couldn't beat out the Yankees or the Red Sox when it was obvious that they had more talent than those teams. Am I right? Do they have more talent than the Yankees and Red Sox? I'll answer that. Yeah, they do. Was that talent used properly? Did that talent perform up to the expectations as a collective, not as individuals? Because each individual, you know, had phenomenal seasons, maybe career best as a collective. No, they didn't. They failed. But hey, never in the history of Major League Baseball, and I looked it up, will you ever again have a 22-year-old with the numbers that Vladdy put up hitting next to a guy who set an all-time major league record for the most home runs in a season by a second baseman, who's hitting next to perhaps the best all-round hitter of them all, still developing, who also has speed to burn and a baseball pedigree near equal to Vladdy, and a great, great head of hair, too. Who's hitting next to a former World Series MVP that has power and speed and can play defense, and were he not injured 17 times this year, might have led this team to a championship. Who's hitting five spots above an all-star who drove in 116 runs and hit 296. Oh, yeah. And let's throw in a Cy Young candidate, Rookie of the Year candidate, lights-out closer. How about a former Cy Young winner? A solid right-hander we got from the White Sox who bolstered the starting staff. Oh, and a lefty who won 14 games after being on the scrap heap, plus a deep cachet of catchers, three of them, at least. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Lourdes and Grichuk. Pretty talented team. And with all that talent, they finished fourth. Fourth! So, no, I'm not happy with the result. I'm thrilled for all those individual accomplishments. You know, years from now, they'll go, remember the time that Semien hit the 45 home runs? Remember he set the record? Yeah. Where did the Jays finish that year again? Fourth. And what's Ross Atkins feeding me now? You know, all the same as 2 days after the season's over. Oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to try to sign. Yeah. Let's do it. All right. Let's do it. You need to win 10 more games next year. 10. Got it? Tampa's really good. Really good. 10 more games. You going to do that with Charlie Montoyo? Anybody? Tell me. 10 more games. If not, you're battling for a wild card spot again. So let's go. What are you going to do? Talk to me, Blue Jays. Talk to me, Mike. What are you going to do?
Ebsy, you don't want to hear what I have to say because last week I said this and you shit all over me. So the fact is, look at our record in Dunedin. Look at our record in Buffalo. Then look at our record at the Dome. We missed it by what? We were one game out of the wild card spot.
Participation medal, Mike.
No, I know what you think because last week you said no excuses. And I think that's a valid and real excuse. We were the only team in the majors to have that logistical nightmare. And I believe if you just look at the records, that's why we missed the playoffs. And if you want to know about Toronto fans, why are Toronto fans not slitting their wrists when they miss the playoffs by one game? Sorry, it's because fuck man, life is tough. Sports is here to entertain, and here we are. We're supposed to feel shitty about ourselves because a bunch of millionaires we have no control over didn't win that one extra game out of the 162. I'm sorry, man. It's like
you think it was that simple. You think that if they would have gotten in and gotten a playoff of a wild card, and they were going to win a one game playoff, and then go on and take because they did definitely have the talent.
Of course.
No, not of course.
Well, they have the talent. We saw what they did at the Dome.
This team was made to win a championship. This team right here, the team that we just had their throats slit on 167, that team, you will not see a more talented team. Tell me again. Look at the offense that team produced. Look at the run differential that team produced. Take a look, Mike, at each individual position and match it up against any other team. And the Blue Jays have the talent. All of it. And they didn't harness it. They individually, they couldn't do it as a team. Why not?
The bulk of these guys, not all of them, but the bulk of these guys are young and are back next year.
Was it really because they had different homes? Was it really that's why they didn't? Because they were like, oh man, I can't do this. It's my third home. Really, Mike? Was that it? Or was it something else? And that's a convenient excuse. And even if they would have won three more games or two more games or seven more games because of the, and they played at home, great, but it didn't happen.
So why didn't it happen? Is it all Charlie's fault? Like, why didn't it happen?
I didn't say that. You tell me. Okay. When a front office puts a team together, that team has to include the proper management, which is them and the field manager. Did they provide Charlie Montoyo with enough talent? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. But did Charlie, on occasion, like managers would do, but not veteran managers, did he make some decisions that were openly questioned, even by the team's broadcasters, on pinch running for this guy or playing this particular guy in a particular spot in the order, or even the leadoff hitter down the stretch who was struggling, but he was George Springer, and you stuck with him, and there were games where he didn't get on base at all, and you lost some games there. Is it possible that another manager might have said, George, you're struggling, but we're going to put you down in the order? Because he really was. When you saw him corkscrew himself into the ground and Montoyo come out, let me finish. And Montoyo come out there and he's struggling, he's in pain. And you say, you got to come out, man, or we're going to drop you, whatever it is. But you're worried as the manager that you're going to hurt his feelings or your relationship with him is going to be strained. You're not thinking of the whole team. You're not thinking of the collective. And the fans have to go, well, he's the manager. And if George is saying that George is okay to go, then he's got to keep him in there. And he's got to keep him batting leadoff. And you know as well as I do that was not the right move to make for the team. But you went, well, it's George Springer. And he's proven it before. And Charlie's deferring to George. But deep down, you're going, man, we got to win games. We're in a dogfight here. We can't be thinking of not hurting someone's feelings. So that's kind of the way I think about it.
So if I'm hearing
nice
you
guy,
right,
I'm sure everybody loves him, but no.
So if I'm hearing you right, the reason we didn't make the playoffs is the manager, but the logistical nightmare that was this COVID season in Dunedin and Buffalo. You can't even look at that as anything, any possible excuse for why we didn't make the postseason.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Sure. Okay.
And now what I heard you
that,
say.
Now that we've got that out of the way.
Well, I'm glad.
It's a legitimate excuse.
Thank you. I got one. It's
about
time.
What are you going to do for next year?
The fact you said this might be the most talented team of all time, to me, that's bananas. Like the 92 and 93 teams and probably the 85 team, but definitely 92 and 93 were far more talented teams in this one, in my humble opinion.
No. You're talking about guys that were acquired veteran. I'm talking about sheer talent, 1 through 6 or 1 through 7 in the batting order, and your pitching staff of absolute. I mean, think about it. Cy Young candidate having a career year, spectacular Robbie Ray. Even Ryu, who didn't have a great year, is a former Cy Young winner. All right. Manoa was a stud, an absolute freaking stud. You got Berrios, who was an excellent pitcher, okay, would be part of any good starting staff. So I'll match that staff up. Now, remember, this team didn't win anything. They didn't even make the playoffs. You're talking about comparing them to teams that you remember as winning the World Series in a much different atmosphere, in a 7-game series. You know, David Cone and Jack Morris stand out in those games in your mind from 92 and 93, right? But let's take the season. Let's take what they did, what their competition was, all that type of thing. I still am disappointed. Now, I've said what I got to say about the Blue Jays. So now I can't do a damn thing until next spring. And I'm going to spring training next year because I need to see up close this team gel and have a singular focus of winning the World Series, not getting into the playoffs. So no matter whether Robbie Ray goes and Semien goes and they sign another free agent and they get Mats back or whatever happens, this team has focused from the first day has to be, we are going to win the World Series. Nothing's going to stop us from winning the World Series. We're going to kick ass and take names. And if Vladdy is your leader, he's going to go, I'm going to hit fucking 50 home runs next year and drive in 150 runs. Who's with me? Bo? Let's go. Teoscar, come on. Who else is on board? And this is what I'm talking about, man. They had their sniff last year and made their little playoffs, 60-game schedule or whatever it was, right? They came this close. Next year, no excuses. Springer's going to be 100% healthy from the beginning. I still think there was damaged goods there. I still think he had an injury that never healed. And he never got going in spring training. And he just, it could have been phenomenal. Imagine this dude at, you know, being able to play at 85%. How much better would this team be? There's your game's difference. There's your difference right there. Anyway.
I love the fact that, you know, on Hebsy on Sports, you wrote off this team in, I guess it was mid-August. Like, you wrote off this team, and here we are, you know, a couple months later, right, or whatever, and you're still,
right,
you're piping.
I?
Yeah, well,
I was right, wasn't I, Mike?
I suppose.
But I was right. Never mind how long it took. They didn't have what it takes to get into the play. Into
even
the
a broken clock is right twice a day. And let's face it, you were scoreboard watching.
Oh, really? Smart ass.
We were scoreboard watching.
Did they win anything, Mike? Let's get straight.
But
are they playing this week, Mike?
No.
Did they play this week, Mike?
No, they're not playing anymore.
Close is only good in horseshoes and hand grenades. So I don't want to hear it anymore.
Okay, because the Red Sox were down 5-1, and then 5-1 they were down.
Mike,
that's all I'm going to say.
Was I right? Did they make the playoffs?
No, they did not.
Did you have a bet on them, like I did, that they wouldn't make the playoffs?
I did not have a bet on them.
I did. Remember the time I said they're at 9%.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, the fact that they came this close, I still won the bet. So that's that. Now, the final 8 have been settled for the playoffs. The Astros and Rays have gotten off to 1-0 series leads. Houston pounded the White Sox 6-1 at Minute Maid Park. Lance McCullers Jr. hurled 6 2/3 scoreless innings. Yordan Alvarez homered and doubled. And Michael Brantley, who was traded to the Blue Jays, of course, earlier this year, according to a certain source who shall remain nameless, but we all know who she is. He had a couple of RBI for Houston as well. he would have looked good in the Blue Jay. Hey, if Michael Brantley was playing for the Blue Jays, maybe they would have gotten into the playoffs. Thank you very much. Cheers to you too. Game two this afternoon, but not on Sportsnet.
Right.
As Jamie Campbell pointed out 60 times last night. Okay? They don't have it. They don't have the rights. It's the MLB Network. So if you don't subscribe to the MLB Network, you better.
Find a stream.
I get it on DAZN.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. I do know that if you know where to look, you can find a pretty good stream of that game. Not that I condone such activity. I just happen to know that.
I'm sure you can. Anyway, it's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Tampa Rays, meanwhile, goose the Red Sox 5-0. Playing near-perfect baseball, Mike, Tampa, near-perfect.
Yeah.
Including a steal of home.
Woo!
By the electrifying Randy Arozarena.
Wow. So exciting. That's like the most exciting play in baseball, right? Like that moment.
God. Yeah. He was a star in last year's postseason too.
Of course.
Like out of nowhere, literally. And he also homered yesterday and gets the chance to put his team up 2-0 tonight in game two of the series. Other matchups tonight. Game one between the Braves and the Brewers. The Braves travel back to their former home. Did you know that the Braves used to be the Milwaukee Braves?
I did know that.
Until 1966. And before that, they were the Boston Braves. That's right. Babe Ruth's last team, the Boston Braves. Imagine.
Wait a minute. So he played for Boston after the Yankees?
Correct.
That's one of those, like when you find out Bobby Orr did not retire a Bruin.
No, that's right. Chicago. That's sad stuff. Anyway, so listen to this. So Milwaukee, who really had a phenomenal season, like under the radar, like they're amazing. Good for Rowdy Tellez, too. They're favored to win the series. According to Bodog, you got to lay minus 143 if you want to bet the Brewers to win the series. But if you bet Atlanta, you're getting plus 120. And then later tonight, the big one, the Dodgers and the Giants for the first time ever in a postseason series. Wow. These two teams used to reside near each other in New York up until 1958. The Giants have the home advantage because they won 107 games to the Dodgers 106 games.
That's bananas.
Oh, you think the American League East is a tough division? 107, 106. The Padres finished third. Their manager got fired.
Wow.
But L.A. is the money line favorite. Explain this to me, Mike. Is it the L.A. money? If you bet the Dodgers to win the series, you got to lay 158. That's a lot. That means you got to lay $158 to win $100. Mm-hmm. If you bet the Giants, the favorites who have the home advantage and won 107 games, you get 132 for your $100 bet. Now, that's a good – I would bet the Giants because if I bet $100, I win 132.
It's the Mary Hart factor. I think it's obvious.
Mary Hart factor.
Yeah. Who's very distracting because I watched, you know, every minute of that game and what a fantastic finish. Yeah. But, you know, Mary Hart's – you know, forget home plate lady. Imagine if that's Mary Hart there the whole time.
But you didn't, did you not notice Lou Adler sitting
there?
Yeah,
I know, of course I did.
And
they were chatting for a bit.
Yeah, and Mary Hart's husband is Bert Sugarman from the Midnight Special.
Wow. Okay, I didn't.
The two of them have been there. They got season tickets. But I met Mary Hart for the first time when she had season tickets at the LA Kings games at the Great Western Forum. And this was before Gretzky came.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She's a big fan. I don't know if she still has the season tickets. I think she splits them. I think they split them up. I think all these stars, even if you got tons of dough, it's hard. You can't afford to go to
every game, Mary Hart. Really? Mary Hart, how much was she raking in there at Energy? She can afford all the tickets
you're
wants.
If you were to say, and no, wait, it's Mary Hart and Bert Sugarman together.
Well, Mary Hart on her own can afford those tickets.
I'm sure he did pretty okay also. So I think their combined wealth would allow them to have season tickets, front row for Dodgers games, and rail seats for Kings games.
I think her legs were insured for $1 million a year or
they
something
were.
Like that.
They were. She was great.
Oh, yeah.
Met her
yeah.
a few times. She was very nice.
Oh, cool.
So anyway, yeah, so Dodgers, Giants. So I like the Giants in that one. Imagine, though, you're a Dodger fan. You're the defending World Series champions. You won 106 fucking games, and you got to play the wild card game.
I know.
And win it in the ninth, the bottom of the ninth inning. God, my God. Heart attack. If I tell you, heart attack. Dodger fans were having heart, and every one of them hates the playoff system. Hates it. Why do you think that is?
Everyone has the same rules. Everybody
won the World Series last year.
Right, and everybody has the same rules going in. We know the deal.
Exactly right. That's right. Baseball's playoff structure is, like, I love it. I think it's fantastic. Houston is now a minus 295 favorite to win their best of five over the White Sox after their win yesterday. And the Rays are a prohibitive minus 400 favorite to take out the Red Sox. It means you got to bet $400 to win 100 if you want to bet the Rays. Would you make that bet? I mean, they look pretty good.
No, that doesn't sound like a good bet to me. Peter Gross would tell me not to do that. Would you lay
$4 to win $1? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. That's like betting the favorite in the Kentucky Derby.
This isn't the Kentucky Derby. We're not dealing with three-year-old geldings. In hockey, the Maple Leafs are getting more publicity out of their Amazon documentary, All or Nothing, than they are out of their actual preseason games, which do not feature Austin Matthews just yet. And by the way, show of hands, how many have seen All or Nothing, the documentary?
Have you seen it?
Yes.
What did you think?
I had to see it because there's a couple people on Twitter, one in particular, Jonah, that puts these spoilers out there. Now, he says it's not a spoiler, but I say at least put down spoiler alert. I have not seen this documentary. Some people got advanced copies of it, some media people, whatever. And so so now they're writing stuff like, oh, and see the scene, Sheldon Keefe, all he does is say, fuck. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. That to me is a spoiler alert. Don't tell me that he's using the F word all the time. Just don't say it. Keep it to yourself. You don't have to spew it out over Twitter. And if you do, put down spoiler alert if you haven't seen Amazon's All or Nothing on the Maple Leafs. Like, put that in the header so I don't read any further. So if I haven't seen it, I'll go, oh, and I'll look away.
You think that's a spoiler alert that there's a person who swears a lot? Like, to me, that's not
Nah, it's more to it than that. There's little tidbits that add up to spoiler alert. Right. Like, you're giving me a little to, like, let me see it. Like, it's like the person you sit next to in the movie theater that's going, oh, here's what's going to happen now. I've seen this before. Like, shut up.
Right.
That's all it is. So all I'm saying, no, listen, I'm half kidding. I'm just saying, please put down, like, spoiler alert is there for whoever came up with the idea. Just to let you know, I'm going to spill the beans. If you don't want to know, look away.
It's like when Homer was leaving Empire Strikes Back and he let people in line know a certain tidbit about that movie.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, that's good. So anyway, back to Austin Matthews, because he's more important at this point. His wrist not fully healed, and he may not be able to start the season, which that's not a big deal, but still, you want to get off to a good start, of course, especially after what happened last season, which is fully documented. I won't give too much away in the documentary All or Nothing. Yes, they did go to a game 7, and yes, the result is the same in the documentary. That's not giving anything away. Matthews, by the way, hoping to play for the United States at the Olympics in February. Now, here's what I don't like. Just the mere mention that the member of the Toronto Maple Leafs that most people are counting on to have an incredible season again and lead his team to the second round of the playoffs, the fact that he's even thinking about his role on the U.S. Olympic team bothers the shit out of me. It just does. If he was Canadian, this is incredibly selfish because my second favorite team is Canada.
Right.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's almost like, oh, you're playing for the Leafs, you're playing for Canada. It's a weird thing.
Sure.
So I don't like it. He's an American, all right?
Right.
He's an American, and he's like, you know, I want to make the U.S. Olympic team. No, you don't. You want the Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. That's your priority. God forbid. He's playing for the U.S. team, and he gets bumped by somebody, and it's like, now he can't play for the Leafs. The Leafs to win a cup because of what happened when he was playing for Team USA. I don't like that. It happens in the middle of the season. If it happened in the off season, I might be able to stomach it, but I just, anyway. So
like, this is like when Matt Sundin won the gold medal in the Olympics and was so ecstatic. Like, it was the biggest thing in his life was he's a gold medal winner. And you're like, wait a minute here. This is the biggest thing. Where's this Stanley Cup?
Did he do anything for the Leafs after that?
Well, it's Leafs, as you know.
Did he blow his load at the Olympics is what I'm
saying. Spoiler
alert. Did he cost the Leafs? Possibly.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Spoiler alert.
I'm just putting this idea into your head. Now to something more serious than anything, and something that is so important, and it had to be someone like Carey Price, the way it had to be someone like Simone Biles. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Carey Price has entered the NHL's Player Assistance Program for unspecified reasons. Now, this is the program that's set up that it helps players and their families deal with substance abuse, mental health, and other matters. This came about a few years ago, and excuse me for not remembering the player, the NHL player who died. But it's a mental health issue that had to be addressed. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter to me what the problem is. It's the fact that Carey Price and his wife, you know, together decided that this had to be done now. And so unspecified reasons, you know, this is a privacy issue. There's nobody going, oh, I wonder what it was. I wonder what happened. I mean, mental health is, you know, can be any number of things. And I think if you add the pressure that he must go through, that any professional athlete goes through, but that Carey Price in particular in Montreal, talk about out of the frying pan and into the fire. How about both? How about sitting in a frying pan in the middle of a fire? Well, I mean it. And you're also Canada's big hope when it comes to international hockey. That's a lot, man, for you and your family. What's the matter with your husband? You know, all that stuff, your kids. Anyway, so this comes on the heels of U.S. gymnast Simone Biles, the best in the world, withdrawing from some Olympic events because of mental health issues. And Naomi Osaka, tennis champion, U.S. Open champion, same thing. Cries for help and opportunities to be able to step away and not have to answer questions. And it's great that these athletes, these top athletes, big names, can get help instead of suffering in silence. And it allows others less prominent to do the same thing. Mike, I don't know if you know the story of the great Frank Mahovlich. You're a Leaf fan. You're a Toronto sports fan. Frank Mahovlich was hospitalized on at least two occasions while playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the 60s under Punch Imlach. This is a team that won four Stanley Cups. And Mahovlich scored 48 goals. I believe he was 24, 25 years old. 48 goals, which was a Maple Leaf record. And a lot was expected from him, naturally. And the fans expected a lot, but Punch Imlach expected the most. And he found that he couldn't motivate Mahovlich. Mahovlich was sort of a big guy, but his style made it appear to Imlach and others that he was lazy, that he could have tried harder. You know how it is with big guys that have long strides versus little guys that have short, choppy strides. Those little guys with the short, choppy strides look like they're trying harder. They just do, mm-hmm. Right? And big guys who have long strides look as if they're easy. They could eat. If they wanted to, they could go faster. Doesn't work that way. And what happened was Imlach kept, you know, he didn't call Mahovlich lazy, and he never said he was doing a good job. He only pointed out his shortcomings. And he did it a lot in the newspapers. And he had writers like Milton L. who would hang on every word and would basically write what Imlach would tell them versus going to the player for his comment. In other words, I don't believe Milton L., who was a great sports writer, went to Frank Mahovlich and said, Frank, this is what Punch Imlach had to say about you. How do you respond to that? Now, I could be wrong. And he might have cherry-picked the times that he did it. But essentially, if Imlach would say something like, Frank Mahovlich is a very sensitive boy, and da-da-da-da-da, that type of thing, and we have to be very careful with Frank Mahovlich. You know, that's very demeaning. And so for a writer, and Red Burnett, and Rex McLeod, and Scott Young, and these writers of that era that followed the Maple Leafs, essentially, you know, Imlach would give them quips and quotes and they would write it, but not as often would they go to the players to get, you know, maybe both sides of the story or to get reaction from what the coach said, which is what a good journalist would do nowadays, or maybe not nowadays as much, but a good journalist would do. Anyway, here's what happens. Imlach can't motivate Mahovlich. He can't, but he's still needling him and giving him, you know, in the press. And he never says to Frank, because Frank told me this, Ron Ellis told me this, Johnny Bauer told me this, many players told me this, that Imlach would say to guys, way to go, Johnny, good job, buddy, good game. But he would never say it to Mahovlich. And then he would start calling him Mahalovich on purpose to the press and even during interviews, like TV interviews, Mahalovich. And, you know, I looked at one of them and he wasn't corrected by Ward Cornell. Ward Cornell didn't say, you mean Mahovlich. He wouldn't dare, I guess, you know. And so for Punch Imlach to go to his star player on the air or in the print, Mahalovich, and criticizing him constantly, the fans started booing Mahovlich. Imagine going to the game and a player on your team, a star player, is not living up to the expectations of the coach who is saying so. And every time he touches the puck, they're booing him. The first time I went to Maple Leaf Gardens as a kid, I said to my dad, why are they booing Mahovlich? Right? And my dad's like, because he's not scoring 48 goals every year or something like that. They booed him. He was criticized constantly in the media by his coach, who was also the general manager. So much so that the fans despise this guy. And he's hospitalized now for acute depression. He spends a month in the hospital in the middle of a season. Mental health issues. Oh, God forbid. A few years later, he's back in the hospital again. So bad, they said. And they're saying in the paper, oh, it's a nervous breakdown. But the doctor said he was suffering from depression and tension and had to be hospitalized. And Frank told me, he says, Mike never, ever said to him, good job. Nice game, Frank. So this is the type of man who needed encouragement, not to be berated. You know, Mike, how they say, you know, some people need a pat on the shoulder, others need a kick in the ass. Yeah, well, Punchimlak was strictly a kick in the ass guy. But he also, he got into his head. He fucked with his head. And he did it through the media, and he got the fans on his side. Right? Terrible. Can you imagine if that happened today? So kudos to Carey Price and Robin Lehner and Jonathan Drouin. And if I've missed some names, I apologize, but you know what I mean. These are people that step up. They have a forum. They have a pulpit. In some cases, they're seeking help, and they want to know that it's okay for others. So let's go. Wish them the best. You come back when you want. If I hear one fucking person, one Habs fan, we need Carey Price to come back, I'll fucking personally come over there and punch you in the head. Okay? High, high pressure, man. Think of the pressure you're under on a daily basis. And magnify it by about a million. Intense. So when Carey's ready to return, come back. Until then, get well. Now, before we go on, let me tell you about our big media golf match at Crosswinds yesterday. Myself and Sportsnet anchor Ken Reed took on Greg Brady and Rob Longley of the Toronto Sun.
Wow.
Had a little four-ball match.
Wow.
Right? A little four-ball match. Let me tell you, the course was in great shape considering all the rain we've had. Now, I wasn't aware. We got some rain in downtown Toronto, but Monday, apparently, it was a deluge out at Crosswinds, out Burlington Way. It was bad. So much so that like a normal golf course would have closed the course. That's how bad the conditions were. But course superintendent Mark McClure did a great job. Him and his staff did a terrific job keeping the course playable. We walked 18 holes. It was beautiful. The greens were a little slow because they took on so much water. Not much roll in the fairways, but that's understandable. But still, great day. And even better because me and Kenny beat them 2-up. And the rematch has been set for next spring. And we're negotiating a deal with Sportsnet to broadcast it live. Because I figure if TSN can do the James Duffy, Jeff O'Neill, Carlo Colaiacovo, who was the fourth in that one? I can't even remember. Oh, Jerry D, was he part of that? Or is that a different? Anyway, if they can do that, then Sportsnet can broadcast our four-ball match live. And by the way, I had the shot of the day. Tee shot on the par 3, 17th, but 175. Drew it in there from right to left. Ended up 20 feet from the hole. Just missed the putt for birdie. Like came as close to making the birdie as the Jays came to making the playoffs.
That's pretty close.
But see, I made par and we won. That's the difference. They got nothing.
Wait till next year.
Out of it.
Hebsy.
Except for a participation medal. Hey, if you want to get in some fall golf, go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. It's going to be a long fall season of golf. We're going to play until late November this year because of global warming. And we'll be playing again in March next year like we did this year, folks.
Right.
Global warming is here.
Hey, I can't help but notice that you've been hobnobbing with many of our great sports media personalities lately. Because you had Jay Onright and you did the Dan O'Toole golf.
You've got it the wrong way, Mike.
Yeah.
They've been hobnobbing with me. See, I'm retired now.
Right.
My legacy is complete. I'm that guy. I'm retired. Right? So I can go where I want to go, when I want to go there. And if people want to hang out with me, I'm available to them. Right. That's the way it is. It's not me hobnobbing with them. They're hobnobbing with me. They're riding on my coattails.
But I will say this. So I'm thinking, though, who could blame them? But Dan O'Toole, Jay Onright, Greg Brady, Rob Longley, Mark Hebsher, all our FOTMs have been on the program. Tell that Ken Reed fellow he should make his way to the backyard studio.
You tell him. Why should I tell
him? I will. I will tell him.
No, I mean, you know, it's like when my mom says to me, oh, when you say hi, when you see Mike Boone, tell him I said hi. Right, why don't you pick up the phone and call Mike Boone and tell him yourself? Because I can't, like...
Your parents, by the way, should be very excited about the Giants versus Dodgers because, of course, on their honeymoon, they went and saw these teams play in New York.
They did. They did see them play.
That's wild.
I'm not sure they have an affinity for either team. So, hey, Leo Routens. Here's the story with Leo Routens.
I'm ready.
You know, he's no longer going to be on the Sportsnet telecast, but he will be on the TSN telecast, I guess, taking on a... anchor role there. But anyway, he found out that he had lost his job with Sportsnet in the most inhumane way. You know those stories where you hear at the time, you know, where the guy gets traded in the summertime, right?
Right.
Hockey player, and he finds out on the local radio station, you're driving along, sure. And now in sports, blah, blah, has been traded to the, and the guy sits and he finds that out. He's pissed now because the team didn't call him in the first place.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Terrible way to find out.
Yeah.
That's how I found out I had gotten fired from a radio job once.
By listening to the radio and hearing your
I'm
replacement?
I'm listening to the station and I hear I hear the guy who's on the air.
Yeah.
And he says, this Saturday night with the debut of the show at midnight.
Yeah, dick and move.
And I go, that's my show. I'm on at midnight on Saturdays.
Such a dick move because, of course, and I can't wait to hear the story. He actually is going to be in my backyard in a couple of weeks.
Okay, ask him about the dick move that Sportsnet did.
So,
Leo discovered via Twitter
that
he was no longer employed at Sportsnet.
I suspected it was going to be Twitter, but that you know, the first call should be to the person to tell them we're sorry, but we're going in a different direction, whatever.
Well, you're assuming that the PR department knew to not allow a press release or whatever the announcement was in advance or even tell them.
Well, PR shouldn't even have it until the person has been told.
I don't know if it was PR. I don't know what happened, but Leo found out that he was no longer at Sportsnet. I'm pretty sure Twitter, social media for sure, but
bullshit.
Probably Twitter.
That is such a bullshit move. It's such a Mickey Mouse amateur hour move.
Yeah. And then gets a phone call later, you know, after the press release had been issued or whatever, telling him his services were no longer required. What a shitty way to find, what a classless fucking move by Sportsnet. Okay,
wow.
And I'll tell you what else, too. Good on Leo for not saying anything, because he could have.
Well, we'll see what he says in my backyard, where the real talk happened.
Yeah, but I mean, he could have easily gone, you know, what the hell? And what a way to be treated after all those years. Not that it's a nice way to be treated if you've only been there for a year or two, but it's the same with Taddy. Like, it's how do you work that many years and develop a reputation, okay, and a good reputation, and then when it ends, they don't even take that into consideration. All those years, it's like a Rafael Devers 2-run homer. Boom, it's over. As soon as that crosses the dead, done. You're right. That's no going back. By the way, I've listened to a couple of the new shows on The Fan.
I want to hear this.
Rogers owned The Fan,
yeah.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
Not terribly impressed. I'm going to give them more time.
Sure.
Because, you know, you're nervous when you first start and you're, you know, it's unfamiliar. Uncharted waters, and unless you're a Jesse and Gene or a Humble and Fred and have been doing it for years and like you can pull it off no matter
what. Well, I can say the first episode of Hebsy on Sports, the first few episodes, I was afraid to speak because I'm thinking it's Hebsy on Sports, just shut up and press the buttons. And then at some point you actually said to me like, you can talk. And then I was like, oh, I can talk too. But I bet you there were a lot of nerves that first week of the morning show.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, listen, I'll give it a few chances, but it features two unfamiliar voices along with rookie morning man J.D. Bunkus. And the other guy, Blake Murphy, sounds like J.D. Bunkus right now. They sound like the same guy, but eventually, I'm hoping, and I do believe, eventually I will be able to tell which one is speaking. Now, this happens occasionally when two people are on it and they're disembodied voices. It's just the voices.
Right.
And you're unfamiliar, like, which guy is that? Usually it's fairly evident. But occasionally, if you're unfamiliar, it's like, well, is that, like, does that person need to be identified? Like, does he have to go, JD here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then Blake goes, Blake here. And, of course, the unfamiliar voice, the female voice, would not have to do that. But I'll keep listening. Blair and Barker, I know which one's which there.
Yes.
They're baseball guys. I love their deep dives, but I can only listen for an hour or so, and I can only listen to Jeff for a certain amount of time because he's a great journalist, and he knows his baseball, and I love his baseball knowledge. But I'm a radio guy from the start. Jeff fumfas too much. It's not a stutter. It's not a stammer. It's a fumfa. He fumfas. He fumfas. Look it up. I like Jeff Merrick on radio. I think Jeff Merrick's really good. I think he does a good job. That's a tough show to do, a national hockey show. I'm not into the whole league. I may be at some point. Maybe, probably not, but he's a good radio guy. And I hope the show does well. Because I think we love hockey so much as a nation that if you're going to do a national show, it's, you know, being on hockey would be the best thing to do.
But this is, we've talked about this many times that, you know, most Toronto consumers of this content are not wanting to hear about the Canucks or don't really care about a deep dive into the Flames or whatever. But you're saying
the Canucks. I heard one of the promos, a new voice on Sportsnet, a female voice, a very hip sounding voice. I think it was Canucks Jets. Canucks, right?
Canucks.
Is it Canucks?
Yeah, Canucks.
Is it Canucks?
Canucks. Well, you do know these are right, just Canucks. Podcasts on the radio, right? Like all this whole Fan 590 lineup is just they're recording their podcast live on the radio. But they're even calling them episodes. Like, you know, these are podcast episodes on the radio.
Right. As long as they're okay, as long as they're easily accessible as podcasts, and I can listen anytime I want to hour number one of the good, what's the morning show called? The Good Show? First Up? Lead Off? What's it called?
I don't know what that show's called? The Morning Show. I have no idea.
Okay.
But I like the Blake Murphy. I'll say I have been listening to a music podcast he hosts, and I had him over to talk about that because I quite enjoy the music podcast.
Wait a second. One third of the morning show on the Fan 590 also does a music show?
Yeah, he did. I think he actually ended it.
Is he allowed to do that while he's on the Fan 590? Can you be a terrestrial broadcaster and a podcaster?
Well, he ended it. Maybe that's why he ended it, actually, with hindsight being 2020. But he hosted it with Jake Goldsby. It was called the Columbia House Party.
Right on.
Yeah. And I like listening to people talk about music. So I listen to that. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, recommendation, if you like The Sopranos.
I love The Sopranos.
The Talking Sopranos podcast.
Okay.
With Stephen Sherpa and the great Michael Imperioli.
Ooh, Christopher.
They go over every episode on TV. They go over it with a fine-tooth comb.
Okay, good. I like that.
Pick your favorite episode. Listen to these two talk about it. It's great.
The deeper the dive, the better.
Now, the worst commercial. What's that?
I said the deeper the dive, the better for me.
Oh, yeah. It's great. The worst commercial on television. Features former TSN anchor Natasha Stanishevsky. She's doing a commercial for the Come On gambling site where they all go, come on. And it's so hokey, so cringeworthy. She's sitting on the couch. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, there's Natasha on the couch, like in those McCain wedges commercials where she shows up with her potato wedges and watches the game. And then there's one of her baking in the kitchen, which I think was another McCain commercial or something where she's baking, or she was a baker. She likes to bake. So she's baking and the guy's like, come on his phone. He's got flour all over his face because he's baking too. And then she's in the backyard golfing and they're going, come on. She's in her high heels and she's using a putter and putting this ball into the hole over grass that's longer than you could lose a small animal in. Come on. Come on. Ah! Terrible commercials. Fucking embarrassing. She probably got $5,000. Thanks very much for coming up.
Oh, I hope she got more than that if it's that bad.
Whatever.
Okay. I don't know.
You think she?
I have no idea, by the way. That's something I have no reference for.
Oh. I'm going to say that's a hard no.
But maybe it's part of a bigger umbrella. Like maybe there's a bunch of stuff in the bundle.
But is that one you want to do? You want to be, I mean, I know you got to make a living. I get that. And actually, I really shouldn't. It's not up to me. She could be in a financial crisis, whatever it is.
She needs the money. I don't judge that. I don't judge that.
Really?
Poor Natasha.
Other news. Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph, I don't know if you know this, will not go on the road for Leaf games on radio this year. They'll call everything.
Yeah, I think they'll call the home games,
of course, from the Scotiabank Arena, but they'll call the road games.
Hey, is that a COVID thing or is that a cost-cutting thing?
That's a good question, Mike. I have not heard an answer, nor have I heard anyone ask anyone. I'll ask.
Yeah, I can text you, Ralph.
Joe, Joe is 70, I believe, or around there. And Ralphie's about 60, I'm going to say. Early 60s. I wonder. That's a good question. I think it's cost-cutting. I'm going to say cost-cutting because two guys on the road, you're paying double airfare. You're paying for two hotel rooms. You're paying per diem times two. So even a road trip of, let's say it's a week-long road trip, 714, 1500, 22. Oh, man, per diem, 1,000, 32. Well, about $6,000 for a road trip, let's just say,
okay,
for two guys. Okay. $6,000 for a road trip times how many road trips? Well, that was a week-long road trip, but that's a big savings. I bet you you're saving yourself $60,000 to $100,000 in travel expenses by sending two people on the road. There you go. So I put in a call to Eric Smith. I have not heard back of the Raptors broadcast to see if he and Paul Jones are going to be going on the road this year. He's going to do 41 games because Sportsnet is going to do Fan 590 is going to do 41 games, of which he'll do play by play, and Jonesy does color. I don't know how many of those games are road games. I wonder. So I put in a call. I haven't heard back, but I'm thinking, you know, if it's the same company and they're not sending Bonesy and Ralphie on the road, are they going to send Smitty and Jonesy on the road? And is TSN 1050 going to send Shermie and Jonesy on the road? Z.
Quick question about Eric Smith. When
Wagsy, what about Wagsy and Benzie Wagsy? He going to go on the road next year on Sportsnet 590, the Fan? Or is Sportsnet 590 and Rogers going to save a shitload of money by not having to send 1, 2, 3, 4? Well, Wagner can't go by himself, can he? Let's say five people on the road. Project that over the next couple of years, all those expenses, by just staying at home. Don't have to pay per diem. Don't have to pay hotel. Don't have to pay airfare. Ground.
These are just pennies in the overall. When you look at, you know, these numbers.
It's not, though. You see, it's not. No, any bean counter will tell you. With that 70,000 or that 100,000 or whatever, you know what we can do? Line our own pockets. Line the pockets of the stockholders. So there you go. The future of broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to break it to you, but that's the way it's been done for the past 18 months. So why would you change it? Why would you say to all these companies, come on back downtown, let's fill up those office towers the way it was. Let's go. No, we've been working from home. It's great. I know people who think it's fucking great. They don't have to commute. They're saving themselves a fortune. They'll take a pay cut to work from home so they don't have to go through the bullshit of commuting and sharing elevators with anti-vaxxers and who fucking knows what else. People are enjoying their life. These are people that own homes and are enjoying these homes. They're paying mortgages, but they're enjoying the homes. They're not out of the house most of the day trying to get to work. They're at home. It's a beautiful thing. I do work from home. What about you, Mike?
Dude, I've been working from home since 2011, and I knew in 2012 I would never go back.
You miss going to the office?
Are you kidding me? I would never go back. Never. And that's pre-COVID.
Canada and Mexico drew 1-1 at Azteca Stadium yesterday in Mexico City in World Cup qualifying.
Wow.
I'm sorry, but I cannot help myself.
I don't think you're allowed to do that, though. You know you get criticized.
I think I
that.
Am. It's a podcast.
Okay.
I am. When I say Mexico, and I love Mexico. I love Mexico. Love it.
I should clarify, though. I just wanted to bring this up that, of course, it's not against the law, Hebsy, but you do get criticized. I get criticism when you do your Charlie Montoyo because of a white man doing a Spanish
accent. It's too bad. You have to understand. I'm not.
But would you do a Jamaican accent if you like?
Yeah, for sure. I can do a Jamaican accent. Absolutely.
Go ahead. Do some
patois. Come on. Cool me, brah. But listen, man, it's because I like the way it sounds. Why would I do an impersonation or why would I mimic something that I don't like the sound of? I like the way it sounds. I'd like to try to mimic it to see if I can speak that way. I would love to be able to go to Puerto Rico and speak in the same lilt as Charlie Montoyo and have people think that I'm a native. What, you are from Puerto Rico? What part? Santurce? I just, anyway, That's just me. Anyway, let's get back to the action. Jonathan Osorio had the tying goal in the 42nd minute, and Canada, third in the table, with 6 points after four matches, draws 1-1 against Mexico. The U.S. and Mexico tied with 8 points atop the group, Canada in third place. Lots of soccer left to be played. An important point, though, for Canada in this competition. And I couldn't see the game last night because I don't get Sportsnet 360 as part of my cable package.
Right.
I won't pay for it. I won't pay for TSN2, so I missed some of the tennis. Sorry, man. Like, put it all in the same thing. But I get it that Sportsnet, on all its Sportsnet stations, has to have the baseball playoffs.
Right.
So it gets bumped. But, man, come on. If you're going to have that many channels, just throw them all out there. Don't charge me another $7 a month because I'm not going to pay it. I don't need to see. So I didn't see it. So I read about it. The Raptors fell to Philadelphia last night in the city of brotherly love. No, can I do a Philly accent?
Yep. You can do a Philly accent.
If I do a Philly accent, is that worse, better, or the same as doing a Charlie Montoya?
Oh, it's far better.
Is it far better?
Yeah. You can totally do a Philly accent. Yep.
I'm not going to do it.
Because it's not controversial.
Someone from Philly who would come over and say, "You fucking talk, Lubio, to kick your ass." No Siakam, no Boucher, no Watanabe, no Kem Birch last night, but they still give the Sixers a good run, ultimately losing 125-113. It's preseason.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
OG Anunoby led the way with 22. FVV had 17. Rookie Scotty Barnes had 8 points on 3 of 7 shooting, 5 dimes, and just 1 turnover in 26 minutes. I like this kid. The NFL Thursday Nighter. So the LA Rams beat the Seattle Seahawks 26-17 in a battle of quarterbacks with damaged digits. How's that for a headline? Matthew Stafford of the Rams injured a finger on his throwing hand, yet still managed to put it back in place by himself. Snapped it back into place, led his team to victory, 365 yards in the air, and a touchdown with a broken finger. Okay? Meanwhile, Russell Wilson was left as a spectator as his own finger injury was too severe to continue in the third quarter, and he had to give way to Geno Smith. The Seahawks wore their fluorescent green uniforms at CenturyLink Field. Didn't help them. Pretty ugly. Unless you're a real fan of green, like, whoa. Like the Green Lantern type of thing. Like a body. They looked like wearing Green Lantern bodysuits.
It's like in the 80s when the neon colors were the rage.
Yeah. They were. Can you imagine? It's true. The Pittsburgh Pirates wearing their yellow with those black caps with the yellow stripes on them. San Diego Padres, brown and freaking gold. Yeah, there were some wild colors. And Seattle, they were ugly. But it's okay because they've got the Kraken now in Seattle. It's the place to be. Maybe the rain's not so bad.
Do you care about the Kraken? Like, I know, like, are you there for the ground floor of a new franchise? Do you really give a shit, or are you?
What do you mean?
Like, okay, so the aforementioned Jonah, who spoiled All or Nothing, which, by the way, KM had a good line on YouTube, and he said, All or Nothing, the show should just be called Nothing.
That was good. Yeah. We should point out that Jonah is YYZ Sports Media.
Does that exist
yet? So he follows
yet?
Sports Media. And he has some. He has at least one we know of excellent contact in the business.
Yeah, in the Rogers Empire.
Several stories, including the Jim Houston retirement before it happened and the big changes at the Fan before they happened and a few other things like that. So kudos to Jonah. But Jonah was the one who's like, you know, he likes the Sopranos. Or not the Sopranos, sorry. All or Nothing, this particular documentary, and was like, you know, posting some stuff. I haven't seen it yet. Stop.
I stopped. I had to mute him because I don't need a play-by-play fucking breakdown of the Seattle Kraken. I just don't care, especially preseason Kraken.
See, that's what you get because he's from Seattle, even though he's a Toronto
sports
guy.
So I muted the guy. And his website, which, as you know, I love I love the sports media talk, as you
but
know.
But that shouldn't be, you're right. That should be in a separate Twitter feed, not his YYZ Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that.
I'm a Toronto guy. My show's about Toronto sports. I'm not.
Right. Like, if you started going deep into, I don't know, Cleveland Brown stuff, on your play of Cleveland Brown.
Well, wait a sec. Actually, I can go deep into Cleveland Brown. I can go deep into a lot of stuff.
Sure, you can.
I'm working on something
and
now.
And you can do whatever you want, but I might mute you too. Like, I just didn't need to see about preseason Kraken shit. Like, I just didn't need it. You know, I don't care enough.
On a Toronto sports media
Right. Like, tell me Houston's retired. Okay. That's something I can do something with. Okay. Right. And you're right. He's got some contact at Rogers who feeds him stuff. And that's always interesting to me because I like to cover the stuff too, as you know.
Right.
But I don't give a fuck, part of my French, about the Kraken's preseason game.
I sense a bit of jealousy here, Mike.
It's not jealousy. I'm just telling
you. Somebody gets a scoop over you, and naturally, that's we're all competitive. I get that.
I don't have.
I have to come up with these scoops now, Mike, because you're worried that YYZ Sports Media is, you know.
No, we do something differently. It's like I like to talk to the Leo. Like I like to put Leo Rodens on my microphone and ask him about it, as opposed to like I don't need to break stories. Like I don't need somebody in the Rogers Empire to say, psst, by the way, we just fired Leo. He doesn't even know yet, but you can tweet about it. Right. That doesn't fill my boots.
Got it. I'm the same way. On to bigger and better things. Like golf. The PGA Tour this week is the Shriners Children's Open. Sung Kang shot a 10 under par 61 to take the opening round lead. I will not be doing any mimicking of Sung Kang. It's really hard to say that and enunciate. Okay. I'll bet you Andy Petrillo couldn't say this if she said it fast. Sung Kang. It would be Sung Kang. She drops her G's. That's the only thing. I think she's a great broadcaster, but she drops her G's.
Well, I drop more than that. So.
But you're not a professional broadcaster.
You're supposed to say, I'm not a great broadcaster.
No, you're not a professional broadcaster.
Well, okay. It depends how you define it.
You're not.
True.
Right? Well, wait a second.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You get paid to be broadcast. Well, that's podcast.
Yeah,
well,
but I'm my own boss.
Formally trained as a broadcaster. Let's say that.
Yeah.
You didn't. I did.
Right.
Dropping G's is not a good thing. Right. Top Canadians in this tournament are Nick Taylor and Taylor Pendrith. Not related. Taylor and Taylor. Both at 6 under. Corey Connors -5. Adam Hadwin, 4 under 67. Adam Svensson at even par. So we got two Adams. We got two Taylors. Right. If we could find Adam Taylor or Taylor Adam somewhere, a golfer anywhere, and come to Canada, if not, I don't care where you're from, and join Team Canada Golf. That'd be awesome. What happened with Taylor this week? Which one? What about Adam?
Well,
Adam
remember, as you know, Ryan Adams and Brian Adams have the same birthday.
Big deal. Not fan of either one.
You're not impressed by
the
that.
Ladies are playing the Founders Cup in New Jersey. Jersey. That's where The Sopranos takes place.
Right.
I don't want to be doing any of those impersonations either. Guy with a crooked nose is going to come over and cap me. By the way, I live down the street from Cafe Diplomatico where they cap the guy.
Yes, they did.
They're in broad daylight. Boom, 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 boom. So when you walk by, it's like, oh, yeah, that's where the guy got the guy in the mob guy, he got knocked off right over there. Oh, really? You want to sit over there? It's like a landmark. Like they should put a little, you know, plaque there. This is where Enzo got it. 6 times in the head. Nice Sunday afternoon. Okay, wait a second. Let me get back to where
poor
I was.
Enzo.
J.Y. Coe leading the Founders Cup after a sizzling 8 under par 63. Canada's Brooke Henderson.
Henderson!
In third place at 467. Elena Sharp of Hamilton finishing at even par. In tennis, Bianca Andreescu plays her second round match against American Allison Risk tomorrow. At Indian Wells. She won there in 2019. You remember that? 2019?
Of course.
Now en route to victories at the Rogers Cup and the U.S. Open over Serena Williams.
That's when I discovered she exists.
Remember that, Mike?
Of course.
2019. That was amazing. She, by the way, is the number 16 seed. Why, you say? Because she's been playing like shit. Mm. That's why. Let's get her going. Layla Annie Fernandez. Woo. Who has not been playing like shit,
right.
Is the 23rd seed, the U.S. Open finalist. And she takes on Alize Cornet of France later tonight in her second round match. On the men's side, Denis Shapovalov, the number 9 seed, gets fellow Canadian Vasek Pospisil tomorrow afternoon. Pospisil won his match yesterday. Even though in the middle of it, he got so angry after missing a shot, he slammed his racket down 9 times in a row. Like, like shattered it. But I mean, you know, he could have done it 2 or 3 times and gotten it out of his system, but he needed to do it. I think it was 9 times. So there's a point where you go, oh, he slams the racket, slams it again, and then throws it away. Right. Maybe slams it 3-4 times. He's really angry and goes bang, 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 and bang. But like 9 times, like nonstop, rat-a-tat, like a mob hit. Like
A lot of mob talk.
And then
today.
He comes back and wins the match. So if that's what it takes, Vasek, okay. I'm all right with that. And that'll do it. We're done. There's nothing else. I got nothing. Sorry, folks.
Just that's win, it. Baby.
Just win, baby. Episode 253 of Hebsy on Sports is in the books. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike and listen to his fabulous podcast. And also, thanks so much to our great sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club. Wonderful people there. We always have a good time when we go there. And they treat you like gold, Jerry. Like gold. Crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. Tell them Hebsy sent you. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with another exciting episode next week. Until then, so long for now. This podcast has been produced by TMDS and accelerated by Rome Phone. Rome Phone brings you the most reliable virtual phone service to run your business and protect your home number from unwanted calls. Visit romephone.ca to get started.